It's Kristen from naturalbirthandbabycare.com, and I have Wintergreen with me again to sort of continue our discussion on birth. And this time around, we're going to discuss a little bit about the reality of birth. And when I say that, I mean we're going to talk about the work of birth, because anybody who's been through a birth realizes that it's work, no matter how fast or how slowly it goes. And we're going to talk a little bit about pain in childbirth, because a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about pain-free birth, and there's a lot of talk about even, you know, orgasmic ecstatic birth. And so we're just going to discuss a bit about how, you know, that might not be the reality for all women. It may be the reality for some women, and why it's okay for different women to have different experiences, and why it's okay for birth to be, you know, work. So I have Wintergreen here with me again, and I'd like to welcome you, and I'll let you say something, Wintergreen.
Yeah, hi again. How are you? Yeah, as I said in the beginning tape, I developed the birthing better with a pink kit method in the 1970s, and it doesn't come from birth professionals. I've been at tons and tons of births, but I don't go, I'm not a midwife, I'm not a doula, I'm not a childbirth educator, I'm not anything. And I have no judgment around childbirth. As I said in the last tape, very skills oriented. I've been privileged to be with a lot of very skilled families under every single type of birth. Skills are valid in every birth. Labor, giving birth, it's called labor because it's work. We have to get, you know, it's work. Yes. You're not going to miss it, okay? Of the hundreds and hundreds of births that I've been at, I have been at a few births where women felt nothing other than weird.
Yes.
And you'd say to them, how weird do you feel? They'd say, well, I'm feeling weird now. And you could see that they were having a contraction. But literally, I have been at a few births where women have felt nothing. That's hard to believe. They just don't feel anything. So it ranges from not feeling anything to relatively painless to painful but manageable to painful, not quite certain it's manageable, to out of control. Okay? I once worked with a couple that was terrified of birth, and they had a good friend who had a baby, 3.5 hours, start to finish, the first birth. And she talked to her friend and said, did you have a negative voice during that 3.5 hours? And the woman said, I didn't have time to have a negative voice because it was happening so quickly. Now, we got together just before this couple had their baby, and this woman said to me, not the woman who had had the 3.5 hour labor, the woman who said, no, don't have to have a negative voice. My friend didn't have a negative voice. I'm not going to have a negative voice in labor. Not every woman has a negative voice in labor. Right? And I said, no, not every woman does have a negative voice in labor. But as we carried on this conversation, I could see her friend thinking. And I just let her think it out. And then she said, I did have one negative thought going through my head in this, because she had 10 seconds apart, 90-second long contractions. That's how it started.
Yeah.
Had a baby within 3.5 hours. Okay. She said, I had one thought that went through my head in that time. And we all turned around and looked at her. And she said, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily a negative voice, right? So, you know, so labor is work. And you need to be prepared to do it. You can't stop it. You hear women say, look, I'll go out to lunch for an hour, come back and do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Got to keep going. It's just like a journey. Can't stop once you're on it. Okay? So you have a choice to make. You have a choice to stay on top of it by how you behave or to feel overwhelmed by it. Now, there's a lot of discussion now, along with orgasmic birth and pain-free birth, is about trusting birth. Okay? They said, don't be afraid of the pain. Just trust birth. Women who are afraid of the pain have more painful births. My experience, women's attitudes about birth do not have anything to do with what happens when they go into labor at all. And when you think about it right now, We are right at the end of that Pakistan flood. Some of us were around and remembered the tsunami in Indonesia. Maybe the Rwanda genocide. Maybe you're aware of the starvation in Africa. Those women are having babies. You do not have to feel safe to have a baby. You do not have to trust birth. You can be totally terrified. You don't have to have any positive feeling at all about this experience. You might not want the child. You might not like the man who got you pregnant. Or you might love the man, but you didn't want another kid. It doesn't matter what you feel. If you have skills and you make a decision in your life, if this is an experience that's going to happen to you, and it's an activity you have to do, and you have to do it, then we would prefer you to do it with skills. Okay. If it's not hard work for you, bravo. Now, the issue of orgasmic birth is for a lot of women, they have difficulty understanding how you can have something painful lead to an orgasm. Because when we have sex, we do not, for most of us, expect sex to be painful to give us an orgasm, unless we're involved with very, very kinky sex. For most people, we want to have pleasure,
yes,
in order to have an orgasm. And when women don't feel emotionally pleasurable in labor, when they hate it, they have been told that that isn't okay. So birthing better with a pink kid says, doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter at all. Use your skills. And you'll hear those two parts of your brain going, don't like it, breathe in, open up. Right? As you said in your birth, sat on a ball, kept opening up. Right? So we want people to understand that the powerful feeling of having given birth is more easily achieved when you have done that activity. It's more like a dance performance than it is like a dental appointment.
Okay. Good.
So, I can see you thinking.
I'm trying to think of where to go from here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because that feeling of accomplishment and euphoria, I mean, you can certainly feel that during the birth, and most especially, I think, you know, as the baby is being born, you know, as the baby's crowning, and as the baby's being brought up to your chest in a natural birth, there is euphoria. But there's also a feeling that comes after the birth, like you're talking about, of just the satisfaction of knowing that you worked with your birth, whatever experience. I mean, in the last call when I talked about, you know, Jamin's birth, his mother had an induction, and she was in the hospital, stuck to the bed, and I mean, it's nothing like the idyllic birth that you picture, but she feels a deep sense of satisfaction and accomplishment with her, you know, her birth experience and with his birth. And I think that, like you said, there's, you know, that women go into birth with skills, and then you come out on the other side of birth, no matter what kind of work you had to do, you were there and prepared to work with the birth, to use the skills during birth, and then you come out on the other side and you can feel good about your birth. I mean, all birth is work. Moms have to work with their baby's effort to be born, and even if you end up having a cesarean, you know, you're still working with the baby's efforts to be born. And you're, you know, birth is a process. It's not, I mean, it's not some wonderful, you're not creating some perfect dream, daydream world, even if you get your dream birth, so to speak. You have to go through the process and what you and your baby need to go through to get born. I feel like I'm rambling.
It's very hard to articulate, Kristen, and I really appreciate that you're taking time to articulate this to people. I mean, people who have had babies understand what you're talking about. People who haven't had babies don't understand what you're talking about. So what we want to do in the Birthing Better with the Pink Kit method is to help people really understand that when you are pregnant, your baby's growing inside you. at a certain point, if you're going to labor and have a vaginal birth, let's talk about that first, because there are basically three types of births nowadays. Everybody historically used to labor and have a vaginal birth, whether the mother died or the baby died or whatever. You know, in traditional communities where I work, and I don't work around birth, I work with body work,
yes,
with people with disabilities, where there's no medical care, anything that happens in a birth is natural and normal, even though it may be unpleasant and infrequent. So we now use the word natural birth to mean easy, enjoyable, and so we're using the words actually incorrectly. But what happens is that when you're pregnant, your body is preparing to have a vaginal birth. Now we can have a labor and a vaginal birth with or without medical care. We can have a labor and then an emergency cesarean, or we can have a non-laboring cesarean. And if you're trying to have a vaginal birth after a cesarean, you will have one of the three above. So, but they're all births. You're right. They're the birth of your baby. But let's just talk about going into labor. You have Braxton Hicks contractions. You had a lot of them. You may have felt them. You may not have felt them. But when you become familiar with them, that is a good time to practice the skills. Stay open. Keep your pelvis mobile. Learn about your breathing. Learn about internal relaxation. And if you've done the internal work, then that's really, really good, because that's the final passage of your baby. Most labors do not start off painfully. So when people start to use the skills, they should start to use the skills right away, because that helps them learn about the rhythm of what their body is doing, right? And we had to learn to open our cervix. Opening up the cervix is what causes that pain. Okay? Once the cervix is fully open and the baby begins to move down into its birth passage, and if the baby moves down spontaneously and your body is ejecting this object, then often that is a pleasurable or very productive feeling. Right? If you've done the internal work, you will reduce that ring of fire. So what we want people to do is to use the skills of the transition period from pregnancy into labor. There's always a transition period, and that transition period is sometimes undefined, or sometimes it's niggly. But as you begin to increasingly use your skills, because the outside world becomes much less significant,
yes,
then you begin to learn about your body, and you begin to have this relationship with your baby, and if your partner is involved, you have developed an intimacy within your family. So as the labor gets more painful, it means that this very tight muscle, the cervix. Now, I once had a midwife say to me, it's not a muscle. And I went back to my friend Andrea, who's a midwife, and said, well, what is it if it's not a muscle? And she had to look it up. The cervix is composed of 50% connective tissue cells and 50% muscle cells. Now, muscles are a form of connective tissue. So the cervix is a muscle and connective tissue. And when it opens up, it is like opening up the hole in a man's penis to the size of a grapefruit. And men get how painful that would be, except it's happening inside us, so we don't get to see it. So as the cervix is opening more and more, that stretching of that tissue is what causes that intense pain. And the cervix then retracts back into the inside of the pelvis. And when we feel pain, as human beings, instinctively, we tense up. So when you have skills, you are counterintuitive to your response to pain. You have to let go of tension inside, even when you're feeling pain. Now, in the resource, we talk about the five phases of a contraction. So every contraction has five phases. It starts, it goes up, it peaks, it goes down, it goes away. Five phases. Most people see contractions as a one thing. You have a contraction, you're not having one. So if women start to get out of control in the pain, then people feel they can't get women back into control. You can always use one or more of those phases to help a woman use skills to stay on top of it. The place she's going to have trouble is going to be at the peak.
Yeah.
Right? So what happens with women who feel out of control, or women who feel that it's too intense for them. You'll often hear them say, I can't do this, it's too intense. And if they're with people who say, well, why don't you get into a position like hands and knees, back the labor off a little bit. Okay. The woman gets on her hands and knees, and the labor backs off. The contractions space out. They no longer reach a peak. Now, you've effectively stopped progression of labor.
Yeah.
So you've traded off an effective contraction to an ineffective contraction because the woman isn't coping well. So she stays in labor longer. So we don't want women to stop having progression of labor. We want labor to be progressing. It means that we want the contractions to get longer, stronger, closer together within an hour or two. This is not about the medical profession saying you have to dilate 1 centimeter an hour. Don't take that, who's ever listening to me, okay? You want to have a progression of labor. You want your labor to progressing. Your baby wants to be born. You do not want to be in labor for hours and hours and hours and hours, which means that every phase of every contraction, you can apply one or more of your skills. And that is what you're trying to say to people when you say it's work. Work is an activity that is skilled. It's not a general term. If you're milking a cow, the work is knowing the skills to milk the cow. If the work is building a house, it's knowing the skills to build a house or to sew that dress or to cook that meal. The word work implies skills.
Yes.
So what you're doing is working with this naturally occurring physiological process.
Very good.
Well done. Okay, thank you very much. So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you have, and I'm going to do an interview with you very shortly, but did you have birth orgasms?
I can, not during birth, though during Galen's, my labor with Galen, like I said in the last call, I was encouraging my body mentally, saying, I want this. I said, I used a term from spiritual midwifery, actually. I said to myself, I want this to get heavier, just
right.
Welcoming it. And to me, that, though it was hard work and painful at times, I mean, it felt very good to know that I was welcoming my baby. And certainly, as soon as all my babies were born, especially my last two, Brennan and Galen, I mean, as soon as they were up in my arms, the absolute euphoria of the situation was just intense. But I can't say that I'm one of those women who ever actually, really seemed to feel pleasure during the birth.
Right.
So much as after.
Yeah, and I think that this is important. I think the words we use are very important. An orgasm implies, if anybody who's had an orgasm, it implies certain things, right?
Yes.
Euphoria is a different word. Every birth that I've been at, pretty vaginal birth, not so much with a cesarean and certainly not so much with women who have epidurals, but a vaginal birth, even if it's got lots of medical bitty dots around it, it's such a relief that baby is out.
Yes.
You just hear this thing that sounds a bit orgasmic. That baby comes out and you hear women going, oh,
oh, yes.
Oh, oh, and you think, oh, she's having an orgasm. Mostly what she's thinking is, oh my God, thank God it's over.
I mean, yep.
So we have a bit of a confusion here about things. It's also very hard for men often. You're at a birth, men haven't been at a lot of births, and they see a woman really finding labor challenging, even if she's very skilled. It means hard work, and women don't always look really great from 7 centimeters to 10 centimeters. They can look a bit pale, they can look a bit ruddy, they can look a bit sweaty, their hair can look a little bit, disheveled, but they don't always look so great. They don't want a lot of distraction, they're very, very focused, okay? But as soon as that baby comes out, a woman will totally change.
Yes.
Totally change. Sometimes she'll totally change after the pain of dilation's over and she starts to push. She wakes up, starts to look like herself. Men often have trouble figuring that out. And that's why so many men who even if they're good birth coaches and have skills, they'll get tired after the birth, whereas the woman is just on this euphoric high because she still's got all this adrenaline cruising around in her body. And so we don't want men to go into labor tired either. We've got all the skills for them so they're not exhausted doing the birth, because we want men who are growing up to become fathers to really get that euphoric pleasure as well. You know, we really do. Now, we've written an expectant father's blog that we want people to read, because it helps men learn how to grow fatherhood skills during pregnancy, because that's very, very important to, you know, for men to move. You know, once he's impregnated a woman, she's got this biological mandate to grow, and so does the baby. So for a man, he has to choose to mature with her, and he needs to have the right skills. So we have an expectant father's blog that men can learn those skills in the 5 phases of pregnancy. And then from 16 weeks on, when you learn how to work together to prepare the pregnant body to become a birthing body, and then you use those skills during that activity of when your baby is coming out of your pregnant body and your birthing body into your arms, then it is euphoric because you've done it together in a skilled manner, and you're ready to then move into parenting in a skillful way with each other. So we find that the spin-off of being skilled are twofold. One is you get better at parenting together, and you equalize the ability of men and women to help each other feel relaxed and not be stressed. It's not all about the women, girls. It's not, you know. So you want to nurture your men as well as you want them to nurture you. So when you're skilled, you're being skilled as human beings. You're not being skilled as women. You're not being skilled as men. You're being skilled as human beings. And that's really what Birthing Better with a Pink Kid is about. If you're lucky enough to have a pain-free birth, or a birth that you feel was painful but manageable, then that's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it doesn't necessarily mean your next birth will be that way, right? And we don't want women who are afraid of labor to feel that fear is something that reduces their capacity to have a good birth experience. Okay, we as I said in the last tape, it doesn't matter how you feel. It is really what you do. Because you will meet, I don't know in Kristen and your life with Scott, whether you've experienced any trauma with any of your kids where they've gotten sick or they've gotten hurt. You know, if you are skilled to manage those traumas, then you are more likely to let those traumas go into the past without being traumatized by them.
Yeah.
So we want people to feel skilled, even though their birth isn't a perfect birth. We want people to know they can birth better, even if they don't have a better birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's really a key, and I think, you know, that I think it's important for women to understand and families to understand that you can go into any birth situation prepared and work with it. And even if you don't come out with having an experience that you would call orgasmic, and even if you don't have a dream birth, you can still have a fulfilling experience that you can go, you know, that you can gain confidence from, maybe, to go forward with parenting your baby. I mean, because not every woman is going to have that perfect, blissful, you know, danced with trees on the mountain and then sat on a blanket and had your baby in 4 hours kind of birth. And I think women, especially women who are interested in natural birth, I think they feel that there's almost an obligation to have a wonderful birth so that you can have a wonderful birth story and be like an evangelist for natural birth.
I think we've lost sight of, I mean, when I had my daughter in 1970, as I mentioned, and had my son in 1982, that's when the present trend started, really in the 70s and 80s. That the message that people feel around childbirth now, that wasn't the message when I had my daughter in 1970. It was a whole different message around childbirth. So we know that from our viewpoint with Birthing Better with a Pink Kit method, we want to change the message again. So we want everybody to be skilled. They're having a baby. They're not having a vaginal birth or a cesarean. You're having a baby. Yeah. So we really want people to get back to realizing they're having a baby, right? Now, many, many years ago, I had a woman approach me. I was living overseas, and they had used the kit to prepare for the birth of their baby. When she was 32 weeks pregnant, she found out they were going to have an anencephalic baby. An anencephalic baby is a baby that doesn't have the top part of the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. And these kids don't have a long life expectancy. Okay. And they had to make a choice. They were skilled. She actually had another child. And they decided, the recommendation was that she have a non-laboring cesarean. And they made a decision to go ahead and have actually an unassisted water birth in their spa outside, knowing they were going to have an anencephalic baby. Okay. Now, not everybody's going to make that choice, but a lot of Birthing Better families have a lot of medical issues with babies, with mothers, a lot of women with heart problems, with organs not there. We've had a few women who have two vaginas, two uteruses.
Yeah.
Have a lot of problems. A lot of people have had birth traumas. We have people who have vaginal births after three or four cesareans because they've now become skilled. And what all these families have taught me is that the empowerment that they feel as a human being, as a mother and a father, has come from their decision to be skilled and to stay focused on what is happening to them in the now, rather than a projection of what might be,
yeah,
or what they might have hoped for, or what they might have wished for, right? And all of these families talk about how profoundly impacted they are in a positive way to recognize that they have the skills to overcome, to work with, to be involved with, to be very conscious of the experience that they're having. Now, this couple did have their baby outdoors in the water, and the baby stayed alive. She didn't cut the cord. They just floated the baby in the water, and 45 minutes later, the baby just stopped breathing. Now, a lot of people would say, why did she bother being skilled? Right? First was going to happen. They knew they were going to have a baby that was likely to die because they made a decision as a family. And the decision of a family was that they felt that they were going to better have a relationship with this child to work with her.
Yes.
Right? So we want people to understand that natural birth means anything. You will always have a natural birth because birth is physiologically, it's the only way out of pregnancy. It's absolutely the only way out of pregnancy. So every birth is natural. And you want to make certain that when you introduce your child to somebody, you say to them, this is Justin, rather than this is Justin, he was a cesarean. Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't a cesarean. That was the type of birth he had. He's just Justin. Right?
Yeah. Okay, great. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think that I can say it any better than you, Wintergreen. I mean, Wintergreen has such an amazing amount of wisdom about birth for, you know, somebody who has no agenda or interest in birth.
Well, it's because the family's taught me. I mean, you and I now have a relationship. And, you know, it is through our relationship and the questions you're getting through your website that help us go back out and change the societal language.
Yes.
And dialogue. You know, we want people who are having a baby to feel good about that experience.
Yes.
Right. And I've had to learn over the years how to talk this language with people who come up and say, I want a natural birth, or I'm so pissed off because my doctor, you know, is pushing me into having more interventions than I like. Or, you know, I would have loved to have my baby at home, but there are no midwives here. Or I wouldn't have my baby at home for anything in the world because I think it's unsafe. And what I've done is to navigate through that conversation and really just focus on the bones you're sitting on.
Yeah.
If you're going to labor, you want to keep them as open as possible. And if you're going to breathe in, you want to open up your pelvis. And if you're going to breathe out, you want to soften inside it. And when we get down to that conversation, people really get it.
Yes.
But they need to be encouraged to know that they can't rub skills on their body. They have to learn them.
Yeah.
And they have to take time to learn them and to integrate them into themselves. So it's been really a pleasure to talk to you about this. And we've been wanting to do this for a while and
yes.
to record it. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what comes from this.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, too.
Yeah.
I think it's so important that, I mean, to tell women that it doesn't really matter what you want. If you want, I mean, I had four wonderful home births. I mean, each one was unique, and Galen's birth was especially wonderful for me, and Brennan's birth was very nice, too. And, I mean, they were wonderful experiences, magical, spiritual, whatever you want to say. I mean, they were many things on many different levels for me. So I'm obviously a proponent of, you know, being able to have a natural birth or a home birth. But I think that no matter what kind of, you know, trappings or decorations or whatever you plan around your birth, it comes down to what, you know, what the Pink Kid is saying, that the core of it is your body is going to be giving birth, and no matter what colors you want to paint it, or how you want to pretty it up, or if you want to go to the hospital and, you know, totally let the doctors and the nurses help you manage your, well, maybe they won't help you manage, but oversee everything. I mean, no matter what shade it is, your birth is still giving birth. And there's still a benefit to preparing so that you can work with birth how it comes. And if you can work with it and use the skills, then your birth is a beautiful thing. It's a, you know, it's a skilled birth, and you can feel good about it, even if you needed an intervention you weren't expecting, even if everything went like you were expecting, even if your midwife didn't show up, even if it turns up at the last minute that, you know, there's a problem with your baby and you need some sort of medical procedure, you can still feel good about it. And you can say, this was my birth, this was my experience, I worked with it, my partner and I worked with it, and now we have this beautiful baby. And, you know, or, you know, like the couple you experienced, they were able to honor their baby's life in their own way. You know, they were able to take their skills and connect with their baby and work with their baby on that level. And I think it's so important to know that you can do that no matter what your birth might look like on the outside.
Yeah. I think there are some factors there that you bring up. One is the thing that I've really noticed since 1970, when I had my daughter in 1982 and onward, is that when we all gave birth in the 60s and the 70s, we expected to have medical care around that. Our grandparents wanted medical care because they saw hospitals as cleaner. They also wanted to move away from the superstitious traditional practices that often were associated with different cultural practices. And so the medical profession, it was like penicillin. I mean, my grandmother died before penicillin, of pneumonia. If there had been penicillin, she would have probably been saved, right? So all the arguments about immunization and blah, 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 when I'm in third world countries, everybody wants their babies immunized because their babies die of measles. Now, I didn't immunize my son, so I'm not a proponent for immunization or against it. I'm just saying that we live in a modern culture, and we have some misunderstandings about, you know, the modern culture and childbirth. Hospital births do not have to be terrible. They can be wonderful hospital births.
Yes.
I gave birth to my 8-week premature baby in a hospital, and they just left me alone do the birth. They just totally supported me to do it. They wanted an IV in my arm because they were going to try to stop labor. Then they took it out. They wanted me to birth in theater, so we moved into theater. They also asked me, how did I want the bed? And I kept thinking to myself, God, they're making me decorate when I'm in labor. I mean, you know, so but they were terrific. So a hospital birth is more about how you behave rather than what happens to you. So when we had births in the 1960s and 70s, women didn't snarl at each other the way they are now. Right now you're hearing people say, I had a home birth. You had a hospital birth, or I trusted labor, you read everything, and you ended up with a cesarean. As women, we have to stop doing that. We have to value the birth of our children, not the type of birth that we have. That's one of the most important things. We also know that these skills are very funny in a way. I worked with a Japanese couple, and he was very into it. Don't underestimate this as being skills for women. Men love this. It finally makes birth practical and pragmatic. It stops men from being mystified about childbirth. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's mysterious enough. It doesn't have to be mystifying. So yes. Men have the same human body. They get it. It's very practical. Gives them something to do. So this Japanese father-to-be with his first baby absolutely loved it. He was religious. And they went to bed at night, they both read one of the resources, watched one of the sections in the DVD together, and then she found out that the baby was persistent breech, and the doctor said, you're going to have a non-laboring cesarean. At that point, she mentally shut off from learning these skills. Her husband dragged her downstairs to watch the DVD. He made her still read the book. He didn't know she had shut off because they were Japanese, and she didn't tell him that.
Yeah.
She went through labor totally disconnected. I mean, she went through the cesarean, non-laboring cesarean, totally disconnected, but very aware that her husband was totally connected to her and totally connected. He was invested. I mean, he had learned these skills, and he was going to use them one way or another. After cesarean, she had trouble breastfeeding, and she said that's when the pink kid skills kicked in. Because it was his commitment to the work that she, in her cultural background, could explain to him why she was having trouble breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And it was because they had used the skills together that he could then come in and help her use the skills to make the transition to breastfeeding. And she became a successful breastfeeder because of the Pink Kid skills and because her husband had been so committed to learning them, even though she had just shut them out because it was a cesarean.
Yeah.
She then had another baby. She chose to have another cesarean, but she got skilled the second time, and they really did the work together. So, you know, what you've done today is to perhaps open up a new conversation around childbirth. And I just think that's wonderful. I just think that's wonderful. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely knowing you and lovely talking to you about this.
Yeah, well, I'm super glad that you're willing to share Wintergreen because I think it's a hard topic to broach because women who have natural births feel threatened by it and women who don't have natural births feel threatened. And it's just, but it's a topic that somebody needs to come out and say, you know, hey, there's...
We have to stop the shame, blame, and guilt.
Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to come out and say, you know, this is birth. And that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, we've done that today.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you, Wintergreen, for being with us. And again, this is Wintergreen, and she is with the Common Knowledge Trust, and they have Birthing Better with the Pink Kit Method, and I'm going to put links to all of their stuff in this post, or the post that this audio is in, so you'll have links, and I'll also link to the dad's blog that we mentioned tonight, too, so that moms can find that and, you know, send a subtle link to their hubby or their partner's inbox, and maybe we'll get some readers there. But again, I want to thank you, Wintergreen. And do you have anything else you want to say?
No, it was just a pleasure to do this. I just, yeah. And our next conversation, I'm actually going to interview you.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that.